Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Wednesday. Thank you so much for being here with us. It means a lot that you take this time to be with us, and we're very, very happy to get to be with you. Darren did it again. We got a great Wednesday show. Yes, you did, Darren. We got a great Wednesday show. Second hour, Carlo is going to be here, and we're going to talk basically about why it's such a good deal to be Catholic. We're going to talk about why bother with all this Catholic stuff. And it turns out, why bother? Well, because of the glories of living in the Catholic faith. We'll look forward to that second hour. First hour, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland with us. Bishop has been a guest on this show several times. He's the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. And he has a brand new book out with us here at Catholic Answers, which I have to say, we're kind of proud of ourselves for this association with Bishop Strickland. We think we're a pretty big deal because of that. The book is called Light and Leaven, The Challenge of the Laity in the 21st Century. Bishop Joseph Strickland, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, so the challenge of the laity, and I invite you to call to ask Bishop about the challenge of living as lay people today in the church. If you'd like his help, his advice, maybe his take on where we need to go, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You start right off in the book and with the idea, Bishop, that we need to be first century Christians in a 21st century world. I think people get that more, and I'm like, oh, it's almost on a daily basis. You go, I think this world is de-Christianizing, becoming pagan, even in some ways much worse off than the pagans, in the sense that the pagans at least believed in right and wrong, and post-Christianity seems to forget about all of that. So how are we going to live in this world? And that seems to be the question that you're trying to answer here in this book.
Yeah, and it, like you said, it daily for me. The Word of God just comes to life in it with that question in my heart and mind of how do we live the truth in this chaos? And we do it the same way the early church did,
yeah,
with fervor, with clarity that Jesus Christ died for us and is risen. The basic kerygma of the faith. And, you know, I'm older than you, of course, but we've lived in a time where all of those basic questions have been thrown up in the air and said, did he really live? Did he really exist? Did Jesus really walk this earth? Was he really the Son of God? Did he really, you know, there have been scholarly papers written on, was the resurrection a real event, or was
sure.
it just a nice mythical image? The truth is, people died in the earliest years of the church because they knew that he had risen from the dead. And when they were said, you're going to lose your life unless you quit using the name of Jesus. And they said, well, I guess I'll have to lose my life. And people like Saint Stephen and many others martyred themselves, just witness to that faith. And we need the same witness now. It is a joyful message. I mean, just today's first reading, Paul to the Ephesians talked about, Paul used beautiful language, St. Paul's letters, and they're written right there in the context of the first century. Some of the earliest writings, if not the earliest writings of the New Testament, are Paul's letters. And he talks about his stewardship of the grace of God. I think we need to let that soak in. In many ways, that's how laity live as Catholics and Christians in the 21st century. Stewardship of the grace of God. If you really unpack that, what a tremendous call that is. We yeah. have a role in stewarding God's grace, but that's what the Word of God says. That's what St. Paul embraces. He goes to continue talking about that, and that's the kind of faith that we need, that we, all the baptized, as I've said before, that's one thing I like about what y'all asked to focus on in this book. I mean, it was your idea from Catholic Answers. You just said, hey, why don't we talk about this? I said, sure, let's talk about that. But the challenge of the laity to be light and leaven really comes down to that. Stewardship, stewards of the grace of God,
yeah.
to recognize I have a responsibility from baptism you have a responsibility from baptism. As I've said in other conversations I've had recently, it's really the church is the lay people. Yeah, there are a few thousand bishops, maybe. I don't know how many, but a couple hundred in the United States. There are a whole lot more baptized Catholics than priests or bishops. So the royal priestly people of God need to get up and joyfully live the truth of the gospel.
Bishop Joseph Strickland is our guest. His brand new book is called Light and Leaven, out now from Catholic Answers Press. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I have to say, I think many, many Catholics today don't feel like stewards of the grace of God. They feel like an abused remnant that's barely making it, Bishop. You know, children tempted away from the church by every device in the house, and people holding views on television that are just morally devastating and cultural ending if we really follow the views that are presented to us on HBO or wherever else. And so I just don't feel like people feel like the stewards of the grace of God. I feel like they feel more like, are we even going to make it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And anybody that's heard me talk very much, and I talk probably too much sometimes, but I'm on fire with love of Jesus Christ and His church. It brings us the roadmap. It's the plan for humanity. It's not just the Catholic Club. It's all humanity is what God sent His only begotten Son to for our salvation, for every man, woman, and child on the planet. And I think we have lost that. We've lost that idea. Technology is a god. Wealth is a god. Pachamama is a god. There are all kinds of gods out there that aren't God. And in that way, we're very much like pagan Rome, pagan Greece. We had this pantheon of gods. We have a pantheon of gods. And I think we have to acknowledge that. And I think people are feeling the weight of that. Young people are just in despair and saying, life doesn't mean anything. So is that all there is? Let's just keep dancing. That's an old, old song that really says what sadly a lot of young people especially, and that's very sad because they're the ones with the energy. They're the ones that 100 years ago were entering seminaries and giving their lives in service in the convents and entering into marriage and having 10 kids, those are the same people that built where we are now. And it's not going to just hum along on autopilot without a new generation embracing those same basic values. And it is a frightening time, but I always try to go back to the hope and the joy that the original Christians felt in a dark time where they're getting killed for following Jesus. We haven't reached that point. We could get there. I'm not, nothing's off the table
as
far
as
what the future holds.
Right. I mean, yeah. If this year doesn't convince you of that, then no year will. Bishop Joseph Strickland is our guest. We're talking about his brand new book, Light and Leaven, which is a book for the laity, talking about the real genuine challenge of the laity in the 21st century and giving insights from the bishop's own life as a priest and bishop about how we meet our challenge at this moment. We're already a bunch of calls. There's two lines open, 888-318-7884, the number. So I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come back to those calls. I do want to invite you to join Bishop Strickland here with us again tonight, actually, at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're going to do a free live webinar. It's called Forming the Catholic Conscience in a World of Confusion. We'll talk a bit about our role as citizens, particularly in that conversation. And you're welcome to join us. You just go to Catholic.com and you register, and you will be included in the event. And anyone who registers anywhere in the world can be included. Just go to Catholic.com and sign up. It's not too late. It's only a few hours away, but we'd love to have you. See you then at 5:30.
Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Bishop Joseph Strickland from the Diocese of Tyler, Texas, whose new book, Light and Leaven, The Challenge of the Laity in the 21st Century, is now available from Catholic Answers Press. As I said, we're going to do that webinar later, and they asked me in the break to give you a better address for that. Just catholic.com/webinar, catholic.com/webinar. And I'm also supposed to tell you that you can put questions in. If you want to ask a question of the bishop, we'll do our best to get to as many questions as we can during that webinar. Bishop, line's filling up. Shall we go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Kelly in Copperas Cove, Texas, listening on Armor of God Radio, 106.9 FM. Kelly, delighted to have you. Thanks for starting us off. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Thank you. So my husband and I have just recently come back to the Catholic Church. We had left a couple years ago after all the scandal stuff had kind of happened, because we were really struggling with the laity's response to all that. And I guess we're kind of wondering, now that we're coming back, it's still an issue, and we're not sure what the laity and us as part of that can even do to make a difference or hold people accountable or make sure this kind of never happens again.
Thanks, Kelly.
Well, Kelly, I certainly know you express a question that I think is in the hearts and minds of a lot of people that have stayed with the church. Sadly, the people that have left that probably have lingering questions, because deep down in their hearts, they know the truth is there in all the brokenness of the church. Really, I would say, Kelly, that what I was talking with Cy about earlier is the stewardship of the grace of God. St. Paul speaks of that in his letters, to be stewards of God's grace, and to recognize that you and your husband, as a faithful man and woman, can really make a difference, can be a model of faith, to continue to learn and to grow, and to trust that you, as a woman, your husband as a man, in relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what it comes down to. That is the church, really. It's each of us, and certainly in the beautiful sacrament of marriage between a man and a woman, committed for life, open to children, that is where a man and a woman flourish and bring that complementarity to seek God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you to continue to study the scriptures, to pray, to read. There are a lot of resources out there. Obviously, you're listening to something like this program from Catholic Answers. Continue that. And just know what the scriptures tell us. The truth shall set us free. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the truth, the Lord of the universe. He is the light of the world. Just hang on to that. Yes, his church is bruised and broken. Through the centuries, it has been. And I have to acknowledge that, especially now, with the abuse crisis on top of everything else, the confusion in the church, bishops disagreeing with each other, cardinals disagreeing with each other, it is a very challenging time. But as we were talking about, the first century of the church was a very challenging time, maybe the most challenging, because they were just getting started. I have the idea that in some ways, it's more challenging for us, because the truth of Jesus Christ is not just unknown by many, that's true, but it's outright rejected by many. But just because the truth is rejected doesn't mean it's no longer true. And so I'd encourage you and your husband to really quote St. Peter daily, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" There's no other Christian community. There's no other ecclesial community of whatever denomination, whatever faith, that has the answers better than the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is certainly broken and imperfect, but the basic truth in the 2,000 years of a deposit of faith, there's such a richness there that brings joy and fulfillment to our lives. One last thing. I know my answers are too long for nice, short questions, but I get a little carried away. But really, Kelly, for you and your husband, spend time in prayer with Jesus Christ in his Eucharistic presence. If you're able to go to adoration with the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in a nearby church, please do that. If you're not, if it's not available close to you in a reasonable distance, then just go to a church and talk to Jesus in the tabernacle. Talk to him like he's there. Thank him for the blessings. Ask him why this is going on in your life. Share with him your heart. We have to get used to that. But the more we practice, the more I can testify that praying with Christ in his Eucharistic presence, that is the reason I'm on this radio show this afternoon. As a bishop, my life has exploded. The more I've followed Christ and really spent time with him, I was blessed to have over an hour this morning, not say, "Oh, wow, the bishop's holy." I'm just being a bishop. That's the bare basic requirement of what I'm supposed to do to guide people closer to Jesus Christ and really for all of us. So I'd encourage you to cling to Christ and to literally spend time with him. I can tell you, I've never seen an apparition. I've never heard voices. I haven't had anything that would be called a supernatural experience. But what has happened is the Lord has touched me with the power of his love because I've taken the time. I finally got smart enough to just spend a good chunk of my 24-hour day with the Lord in his presence. He's really there.
Okay, Kelly.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, sister. Thank you for the call. Up next in Arlington, Virginia, Eldon, listening on Guadalupe Radio, 1160 AM. Eldon, thank you for your call. Your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Thank you. Good evening, Bishop. You spoke about the laity, the people of God, the census fidelium, as being the body of Christ. And yet the body of Christ does not have a voice in the church. We need a seat at the table in councils, in synods, and we need to be the bearers of accountability and holders of accountability to the Servus Severum clerics.
Okay,
Structural reform is imminent, we're going to have continue with the mass exodus.
All right, Eldon, thank you. Oh. I'm going to let the bishop respond. Bishop?
Really, Eldon, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. We as clergy are supposed to be the servants of the servants of God. We're all called to serve in the model of Christ. And I agree that the laity... And I would encourage you, Eldon, I know it's disheartening and it's disappointing to see bishops and priests not living a deep relationship with Jesus Christ and doing things that are contrary to his teaching. That's very disheartening for all of us. But I would encourage you, and I guess part of my response to your question would be to really kind of step back and realize the witness that you give, if you go to Mass and demonstrate, not in some pious way, but just show that you believe what's happening and you demonstrate that reverence, you're having more impact than you realize. I mean, we all know that young people respond to examples and to what you do as much as what you say. And sadly, there's too much contradiction in what we say too often and how we live and how we act. So I would encourage you and all laity not to discount the impact that you are having as people of faith, and to continue to look for the ways that you can be that light and leaven in the world, in your daily life, in your neighborhood, in your work, with your family, in all that you do.
Eldon, thanks. One of the things in the book, Bishop, that I was actually surprised about was your willingness to speak without a kind of, a diplomatic emptiness about bishops, you know, even naming the names of other bishops in some situations. Was it possibly the case of Cardinal McCarrick that convinced you that that needed to happen? Or how did you come to the conclusion we bishops need to be holding each other accountable by name?
Yeah, I would have to say the McCarrick issue was probably the main thing that pushed me there, because I think part of it is to recognize I'm just a man. I'm a sinner. Yes, I've been ordained for a certain work in the church to be a successor of the apostles. I mean, that is, if you really pray about that, I think anybody that's got a mind and a heart is going to say, I don't know if I can tackle this job. To be a successor of the apostles, most of whom died for the faith?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of commitment that I have to have. And then I need to challenge my brothers too. I try to always be very aware that I'm a sinner. I'm not the smartest. I'm not a scholar. I'm not an expert in anything. But I believe. That is my only credential. I believe what I do at the altar, bread and wine becomes the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, God's divine Son. I believe in what the church teaches. And as I've said, you know, to my brothers on the floor of the bishops' conference, do we believe this or not? I think too often, at least our actions and even the words we use don't demonstrate a belief that makes people say, that guy would die for what he's saying.
Right.
We need to have that kind of proclamation of the faith to say that bishop, that priest, that layman with his family, that person, that woman, they're talking like they would be willing to die for the faith that they're professing. That's the degree of faith that we need to demand from each other and challenge each other to. Instead of, like you said, I mean, you know, it'll be interesting how people respond to this book, but you know, I've been out there enough that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will discount it and say Strickland is a nincompoop. Okay. I mean, maybe so. But I know the truth that guides me. And I guess one thing that I would say is the models that are out there, have they been tremendously successful? I think the answer is in 2020. They're all collapsing.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Right.
So let's return to the Lord and Savior and humbly on our knees come to Him and say, Lord, help us.
Yeah. Bishop Joseph Strickland is our guest. The book he referred to is Light and Leaven. I don't think that anyone's going to say Bishop Strickland's a nincompoop when they read it, but I think what we should do as an experiment is get 1 million people to read it. So if 1 million people would just go to shop.catholic.com and buy it, and then we'll see if anybody says Bishop Strickland is a nincompoop. I don't think they're going to say that. Eldon, I really do appreciate the call. I hope you'll read the book, because there's a refreshing lack of timidity in the book about saying what needs to happen within the church. Let's go to Ted now in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, watching on YouTube Live. Ted, your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Hi, Bishop. How are y'all doing today?
Very well. Thank you, Ted.
Good.
Good. Well, my question just kind of pertains to a situation I'm currently facing in my life right now. I've got, well, and I told the lady a Methodist friend, but actually I have several friends, some who are non-denominational, some who are Methodist,
who are just kind of, and actually the Methodist used to be a Catholic, and I'm just trying to appeal to them and kind of show them, you know, the truth in the Catholic faith, and I just don't feel like I'm making any headway with them. I mean, I use scripture like Matthew 16:18 and James 2:24. I've agreed to come to their church on Sunday and go to a later or earlier service at my own, which I don't mind doing that because I know there is some truth at their churches, but I just wanted to see the fullness of the truth in our faith.
Yes.
What advice could you give me in the times that I'm having, you know, struggling to kind of reach out to them? And
Ted,
also,
you called the exact right guy. Bishop's diocese includes a tremendous number of evangelical Christians and is very comfortable in speaking with all kinds of Christians. But we have to take a quick break, so you got to hang on for your answer. Hang on, we'll be right back with more with Bishop Joseph Strickland on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Light and Leaven, the challenge of the laity in the 21st century, is the new and soon to be blockbuster book from Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. We're delighted to with our association with him. The book is from Catholic Answers Press. You can get it wherever they sell Catholic books, including our own shop, shop.catholic.com, right now. And these are challenging times for the laity, and many people are familiar with Bishop Joseph Strickland from his well, he's willing to stand up for the faith in all the places where the faith is denigrated, including Twitter and the like. And now this is going to come out wrong at meetings of Catholic bishops. I'm not trying to imply that the faith is denigrated at meetings of Catholic bishops. I just mean that it's refreshing the way the bishop speaks with such clarity and directness. And you'll find that in this book, Light and Leaven, available now from Catholic Answers Press. On the line, we have Ted in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And Ted's asking about helping his Protestant friends, some in non-denominational churches, one in a Methodist church, to come to the Catholic faith. And he wanted your advice, Bishop.
Well, really, Ted, as you said, that thankfully these people are already Christian and they're on the road. Certainly, I fully agree that the Catholic Church provides the fullness of Jesus Christ. One thing to remember, and it's great work you're doing, thank you, that you're being light and leaven in the community, helping to talk to other people in a friendly way, in a loving way, but with clarity, with truth. one thing to remember, Ted, is faith is ultimately a gift of grace from God, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and minds. And certainly you can be an instrument of that. You can assist another person to grow closer to Jesus. Whether they actually become Catholic, that is ultimately God's grace at work in their hearts. But you can certainly deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know that if they continue on that path, they're going to come to recognize that the Catholic Church is the true church. It's interesting in my experience. I've been a priest for 35 years. I think a lot of people really come to that conclusion, but still don't become Catholic because of family circumstances, just because of comfort, just because of all kinds of reasons. Sometimes, frankly, laziness. They just are not motivated to really take that huge leap sometimes for people. So I think we have to be very patient, but very clear and joyful about the truth. And it probably wouldn't be too much of a surprise if you're aware of anything I've had to say, but I would encourage you to talk to these people about the Eucharist. Our belief as Catholics that and go to chapter 6 of John's Gospel, the Eucharistic discourse, that is something that really the non-Catholic churches, other Christian communities, don't focus on because it sounds too Catholic. I mean, Jesus says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood to have life in you. The Lord gets pretty clear. And I think it's always important to recognize that in the time of Christ, as he was actually the Son of God speaking to people, incarnate among us, people walked away. Not just a few, but probably even the majority of people walked away. The Gospels make that very clear. And I think that reminds us that here they are in the presence of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and they still don't fully see the truth. So I think I would just encourage you, Ted, not to get frustrated, to know that the seeds you plant, the leaven that you offer, the light that you bring to these persons' lives, it may not bear fruit in their lives for many years. So always have faith and hope that what you're doing is God's work and it will bear good fruit. They may not become Catholic, but if they come closer to Christ, then that's a step in the right direction. And if they continue on that path, and if they really begin to study the Eucharistic doctrine of the Catholic Church, so many converts, including Scott Hahn, probably a lot of us have read his books, and he talks about he brought me to tears as a cradle Catholic reading the book about when it really came into his heart that this was really the real presence of Jesus Christ on that altar with bread and wine becoming his body and blood, soul and divinity. That is what we have to keep inviting people to and to trust that by the grace of God, many will come to that Eucharistic altar. If they don't, hopefully they'll be better Christians for simply being exposed to at least thinking about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
How's that, Ted?
Sounds good. I mean, he had really good advice that seemed to have a lot of clarity in it. I appreciate it.
That's why they made him a bishop. Ted, thanks. You really are doing the Lord's work. It's a great privilege to get to talk with you. I hope you'll call us again sometime. The number here is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Bishop Joseph Strickland, whose new book, Light and Leaven, The Challenge of the Laity in the 21st Century, is available now from Catholic Answers Press, and I really hope you will get it. You won't be disappointed. You might be surprised to find a bishop speaking so frankly about some things that we're used to not hearing Frank talk about, but I guarantee you'll find it refreshing. The number again, 888-318-7884. If you have a question for the bishop. Bishop, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that somebody's going to call you in the first 2 minutes we're on the air, and they're going to ask you about Pope Francis said some things today, but we haven't gotten that call, so I can't stand it anymore. I got to ask you about it. Have people been asking you about it?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. The statement about civil unions for yep. same-sex couples, basically. And really, it's a reminder to me, probably to both of us. We live kind of in a Catholic bubble where, I mean, as a bishop, I mean, I'm 24/7 in yeah. the Catholic Church. I mean, and with my contacts and everything, I guess it's natural that I'm bombarded. I mean, I would imagine you were bombarded with questions about right. what is Pope Francis saying? How can he say this? What is this? I think we have to put it in context and always, you know, I think one of the things that Catholic or wherever we find ourselves in the world today as human beings in 2020, let's all just take a breath. Let's
okay, good. I'm glad
be
you
calm and
yes.
and just take a breath and consider what have we heard? What have I heard? I've heard that there's a movie coming out called Francesco and that Pope Francis either, and I'm not even really clear whether he was just in an interview about the movie or this is in the movie, but he is quoted as making a statement that God loves homosexual people and they need to be able to have families too. And the solution is civil unions. Putting it into that context, certainly Pope Francis, growing up as a man in Argentina, Jorge Bergoglio, who became a priest and then a bishop and then a cardinal and now is the Bishop of Rome, the Pope of the Catholic Church. He's a human being and he has an opinion. And I think that that is not a total answer, but I think we have to put it into that context because the world we live in, 24/7 news, instant communication, if a Pope 500 years ago may have had all kinds of opinions that would cause confusion, but we didn't hear about it.
No.
We didn't know that was the Pope's opinion. And the church, I mean, the church is the inventor of red tape. Red tape actually comes from documents that were bound with red ribbons in the Catholic Church. That's what red tape means. And so the church is about a slow, methodical process of looking at questions and developing through the Word of God, through Scripture, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we believe, Scripture and tradition, coming to an understanding of the various questions that humanity has had for 2,000 years. The church has a very solid, reasoned answer to the question, should homosexual unions between two men or two women be recognized as civil unions in this country or around the world? In 2003, the church came out with a document from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith that said, no, that certainly God loves every person, whatever their orientation, whatever their anything. God loves us. That's why we're here. We are here as men and women in the world, because God is loving us into existence. And I think we all need to just soak that in much more than we do presently, even as people of faith. I'm breathing now because God is loving me into life. And I think that if we just start there, then it will help us to move into a much brighter world of hope and light. But the church has answered the question that has come up with this conversation that Pope Francis had. You know, we can all have our opinions about whether the Bishop of Rome, the Vicar of Christ, the Pope of the Catholic Church, whether he should prudently express that opinion or not. We all have our opinions about whether that is prudent, whether that is helpful. Doesn't it seem to raise a lot of confusion and a lot more questions? But I think we do have to take a breath, keep calm, and just recognize that a good man, Pope Francis, seeking to be a leader in light. I think we can all say that is what he is seeking to do. But, you know, we all have our opinions about whether making a statement like that, if it's accurate, if we may get something from the Vatican that says that's not really what he said, and we get all that confusion. Fake news is a very real thing. I mean, you're in radio, you know, fake news invades everything. I mean, you can see a tweet that is totally false. You can see, you know, something on the news that is found to be totally without foundation. It's not likely that this is totally without foundation, but I think we do have to take a breath. And I, what I did was simply turn to what has the church said officially. In 2003, on June 3rd, a document was published that answered the question clearly, with great charity and love, not denigrating anyone, not saying these people don't deserve, they are loved by God, all of us are. But to just be very clear that no, the charitable answer to the issues they face is not civil unions. That's the answer of the church.
Bishop Joseph Strickland is our guest. We could probably get you in if you dial during this break. Two folks on the line. We're going to get to you. The number is 888-318-7884. The book is Light and Leaven, The Challenge of the Laity in the 21st Century. Right back with more with Bishop Joseph Strickland right after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Are you prepared to vote?
Catholics must form their consciences by church teaching. It's not a matter of personal decision about what's good or evil, but upon the objective moral order willed by God, binding on human beings, and known through reason and divine revelation.
Be prepared to vote your faith this November. Visit EWTN.com/vote for everything Catholic voters need to know before picking up a ballot.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here, and we're just going to talk about the glories of the Catholic faith. What's the big deal about being Catholic? Why should you be Catholic? Carlo's really good at that. And if you're not a Catholic, a perfect time for you to call, because Carlo would be happy to answer that question for a non-Catholic. This hour, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland with us, who, as I have said repeatedly and will continue to say, all of us here at Catholic Answers are delighted to be associated with him and with his new book, Light and Leaven, The Challenge of the Laity in the 21st Century. I have to say, a very readable book. It's not a whole bunch of church speak and what's that thing that people say? Stained glass language. It's not a lot of that. It's a pastor of the church talking to the flock like we all speak the same language. And I invite you to get it. It's available wherever good Catholic books are sold, including at shop.catholic.com. Going to go to Grace now in Maypack, New York, watching on Facebook Live. Grace, delighted to have you with us. Your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland.
Thank you. The bishop is awesome. I'm loving listening to him.
Oh.
He's got an amazing heart and soul, and I can feel it. And I'm just so excited. I own a Catholic store here, Sacred Heart in Maypack, and I'm very excited about getting this book into the store. And I was also wondering what other books the bishop recommends.
I think he recommended Scott Hahn a minute ago, so we better throw that on the list. So we've got Light and Leaven. We've got Scott Hahn. Probably was it the book on his conversion?
Every book by Scott Hahn. One of his most recent books I would really highly recommend, especially now, the title is Hope to Die. It's like, what?
Right.
But it's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book about looking as Catholics with through the lens of faith. What is death? What is the resurrected life that we hope for? What is a resurrected body? Scott Hahn is great. He's full of faith, and he's easy to read. So that's a book that I would really recommend.
Anything else you got for her? She's got a whole store, so you can recommend as many books as you want.
Well, there are tons of books. I mean, I have more than I can read. Another book, as far as, and a lot of laity may not be aware of it, but it's called In Sinu Jesu.
Oh, yes. Right.
And it's about Christ in the Eucharist. And one of the things I love about In Sinu Jesu is the author is a Benedictine monk. Probably if I was wiser, the author of my book would just be a Catholic bishop. But this Benedictine monk was wise enough to not put his name on it, but it is a beautiful read on the Eucharist, on Christ really present, and how we need to pray for our priests and our bishops to really be men of the Eucharist. That's my main job as a bishop and as a priest, to stand at the altar and celebrate Mass with reverence and awe, and bread and wine becomes the Lord of the universe. That's the main thing we do. And we've forgotten that as Catholic bishops and as priests. We've forgotten what our core responsibility is.
Okay, Grace?
That's awesome. That Blessed Carlo is the one that I think is going to be bringing that to the light now, Bishop.
Yeah, Blessed Carlo is wonderful.
Grace, you've been entered on our great accents list, people who call and have a great accent. So you always go to the top of the line from now on when you call, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Unless
she didn't say that about me.
It's the Bronx? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so Grace Bronx. From the Bronx goes top of the list, unless that lady from Tennessee calls, then Grace is number two. Sorry, Grace, but there's a lady in Tennessee who has an amazing accent. All right, let's go to Patrick in Chicago, Illinois, watching on YouTube. Patrick, your question for Bishop Joseph Strickland. No, Patrick? No, I've got him.
Hello, I was just wondering about canonizations and if they're infallible.
Oh, okay. Do you know, Bishop, are canonizations infallible?
Well, I don't think they would be found in the category of infallible. I guess I would, I can't, I'm certainly not an expert in canonizations. But as we were talking earlier, I think the best guide that I can see in the life of the church is canonizations are, I mean, we were talking about red tape. They take a long time. There's a lot of documentation, and I think we can be pretty secure that canonizations are guided by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit. But I don't think technically they would fall into the category of infallible. I'm certainly not infallible, so I may be wrong. But I think that we certainly can trust in canonizations, but to actually say that they're infallible, I would not be ready to make that statement.
Thank you very much for that call. Let me just see real quick. We got another caller, but we got to get him screened real quick. So we'll have another caller for you in a second, Bishop. So light and leaven, the challenge of the laity in the 21st century. Towards the end, is some quite explicit, well, I don't, not explicit is not the word, but quite frank talk about the role of demons in the world. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think a lot of people think it's basically been turned over to demons at this point. Why did you want to talk about that in the book? Why isn't that old-fashioned stuff? Are we still talking about that?
Well, I think it is considered old-fashioned and very non-scientific, but it really touches on, and this is an area that I continue to grow in as a disciple and as a bishop. Honestly, for many years, and really until fairly recently, I've always focused on the holiness, trusting that Christ brings holiness into our lives. He is the Lord of light and goodness and love. And all of that absolutely is true. But I am more aware that demons are very real. And I think one thing that the lens that I look at that question through is, like I've said, I believe bread and wine becomes the King of the universe, God's eternal Son, every time I celebrate Mass. Mm. I did it twice today. And at each Mass, bread and wine, the simplest of bread and wine, become the Lord of the universe. That is called supernatural faith. So, if that kind of impact, that kind of reality is real, which I believe it is, I've grown in understanding that the reality of evil is real as well. Christ has conquered evil. He's conquered sin and death. We can trust that he is the Lord of life, but evil is still real in the world. Look at Christ himself. I'm not a scripture scholar, and I haven't taken the step of, I mean, anybody could do it, just go through, and probably these days with a computer program, you could find every time that demons are mentioned in the gospel. Yeah. But it's frequently.
Yes.
I mean, Christ, I mean, they talk back to Jesus. And I've read books recently where demons in exorcism talk back to the exorcist. And it really is humorous, as serious as the question is. It's humorous, at least the way these books portray this. These demons they're squealing and crying and saying, those beads, when you pray a rosary, every one of those beads hurts us. Stop it. I mean, they say that kind of thing in exorcism. So demons are real. I think you can... with a lot of that we've seen in the world today, and to me, it goes back to even talking about what we said earlier, be calm, take a breath. How often have we seen through this summer of 2020, especially early on, it seems to have calmed down a lot, but who knows what erupts next, but people emote without thinking and just... they're tearing statues down, ripping through things, tearing up stores, tearing down homes, harming people. I think it's an interesting exercise, and I've done it a couple of times, to just turn off the sound when you're seeing that depicted on the news or on some program where they're showing all of this violence. Turn off the sound and just look at it, and I think you see demons at work. Not saying that these people are evil. I mean, they are doing evil things,
right?
But not, you know, casting them off as demons. But I think they're being motivated by demons that are causing them not to stop and think, not to say a prayer, not to think at all, but just to react with anger and emotion.
Yes.
I think that opens the door for demons. And so I think demons are very real.
You know, Bishop, you're putting me in mind of, and I wish everybody would watch this video of the people burning down churches in Chile the other day. The cheering when church spires come down, the howling of delight when a church burns to the ground, it very much gives you that demonic sense. And as you said, not that people are evil, but that why are they letting themselves fall into this kind of thing? Bishop Joseph Strickland is going to join us again at 5:30 p.m. Pacific tonight, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, at Catholic.com. We're going to do Forming the Catholic Conscience in a World of Confusion. We really want you to be there. So if we didn't get to your question here, you can try it there. You just go to catholic.com/webinar and sign up, and you can participate. Bishop, thank you so much. May we have your blessing before we go?
Sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Almighty God, we ask your blessing for all who are listening and participating in this Catholic Answers program, that we may be light and leaven, that we may be lifted up in joy in the light of your Son, and share that light with others. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bishop Joseph Strickland's brand new book is Light and Leaven, available now from Catholic Answers Press. See you in a couple hours, Bishop.
Okay.